5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And joining us right now is Gordon Chang. He is the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. And he is also a Forbes contributor. Gordon, good morning and welcome to Mornings on the Mall. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you, and thank you so much.
Yeah, speaking of North Korea, let's talk to you about that. President Trump is meeting with President Xi today of China. Can we expect any kind of progress on a North Korea solution there?
I actually don't think so. I mean, I could see that there might be some statements showing cooperation between China and the U.S. on North Korea. But long term, there is just so many disagreements between these two countries, because China gets a lot of benefit out of North Korea, because every time North Korea does something provocative, like fire off a missile, like they did yesterday, you know, we become distracted. We don't talk about the issues with Beijing that we should, like South China Sea, predatory trade practices, Taiwan, all the rest of it. And we send our Secretary of State to Beijing. That gives China endlessly gives China bargaining chips. So short term, China really likes this dynamic. And that's why I don't think that there's going to be cooperation on North Korea.
Well, we've been talking throughout the morning, and we talked earlier to Ambassador John Bolton, and I know you probably agree with this assessment. North Korea is beginning to be a real concern because they have this nuclear capability. They have they continue to test their missiles. Sooner or later, they're going to marry those two things, and it's not going to be good for national security of the U.S. and a lot of other people. So how do we then get to China to step up to the plate and do something?
Well, I think we need to start imposing costs on Beijing for their support of North Korea's ballistic missile program and Beijing supplying semi-processed fissile material and components for North Korea's nuclear weapons program. This is just not only dangerous, but of course unacceptable. Once we start imposing those costs, we show Beijing that we're serious about our own security, that we're no longer afraid of them, and then we're capable in a situation where there's some possibility of a solution. And in any event, Chinese entities have been involved in money laundering for North Korea, so we need to enforce our money laundering laws. And until we do that, Beijing is not going to think that we're that serious about protecting ourselves.
And do you think that President Trump will actually go down that road to show that he is serious? Because some of the comments that he has made, some of the comments that Ambassador Haley has made are somewhat provocative and may paint themselves into a corner.
Well, yes. First of all, administration officials have been talking about imposing secondary sanctions on Chinese entities and banks. I don't know if they would go so far as to unplug a Chinese financial institution, because that would rock global markets. But it would also stop North Korea's proliferation activities. On this idea of threats, yes, an administration official on Tuesday talked about the clock has already run out on North Korea, and that's a threat to use force. It's also a threat to use force imminently. And when you combine that with what was said yesterday about Syria, those look like threats to use force. So you have, you know, crises on both ends of Asia. And they could merge because the countries on the opposite side of those threats in Syria and in North Korea have linkages among themselves and consider themselves to be working together and consider themselves to be friendly.
It is often the case that when presidents of the United States meet with the presidents of China, they bring up issues of human rights violations in China and human rights concerns. Do you expect that will be on the table today? And if so, what specifically will the president go after?
Yeah, I expect that he'll probably say something, but it may be no more than a couple sentences. And this would be a mistake, because every time that we don't talk about human rights in a forceful way, China believes that we're, you know, concerned, that we're afraid of China. And after that, usually China engages in provocative and belligerent behavior, which is the dynamic that occurred starting in February 2009, when then Secretary of State Clinton, following established U.S. policy, talked about not raising human rights in a forceful way. And then we had, after that, some really bad incidents involving the U.S. Navy and China in China's peripheral waters. So this is a mistake that every administration makes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next. I mean, there is some concern about the way they're behaving in the South China Sea.
Absolutely. They're trying to close off the South China Sea. And last month, they warned a U.S. B-1 bomber not to fly over the East China Sea. And the language that the Chinese controller used is basically tantamount to a sovereignty claim to the waters of the East China Sea, which are international. They're part of the global commons. And the United States has always defended freedom of navigation. So this is a zero-sum contest with China, and we can't allow them to close off the East China Sea and South China Sea.
Do you have faith in President Trump pushing back? They're clearly going to try to test him. They're going to try to bait him. Do you have confidence that he'll be able to handle this the proper way?
I don't think any American president has handled China in a proper way for the last two decades. I think that President Trump is capable of acts of political will. I don't know whether he will actually display that political will with regard to China. That really remains to be seen, and we're going to find out in a couple days. But I think, though, that if anyone can do it, this president, who is not bound by convention, is very capable of that.
All right. And other issues you think that might, are we missing something here?
There are so many issues. And, you know, normally when you'd have a Chinese and American leader meet, you would have South China Sea at the top of the list, as you just mentioned. But this one, there's so many consequential disagreements, trade, North Korea, that South China Sea is just at the bottom of the list.
Well, one thing we know about this president, he cares about trade.
Yes.
So I imagine that'll be pretty high up on the list, won't it?
Well, definitely. And China's behavior has gotten worse. They're trying to close off their market to American and foreign multinationals. So you have a real issue here about China moving in the wrong directions, because Xi Jinping wants China to achieve self-sufficiency. That's behind his Made in China 2025 initiative, which is going to hurt companies like Qualcomm and Boeing. And we just can't permit the Chinese to pursue that. Otherwise, they close off their market, their companies get really strong, and then they can attack American companies around the world, and indeed, even in the American market.
What is our most powerful weapon in dealing with the Chinese? What is the one thing in our tool chest that the president can wield effectively?
It's the weak Chinese economy, which is not growing at the 6.7% pace that Beijing claims. They've been putting on a lot of debt. They are basically creating debt five times faster than economic output. They need access to the American market and American investment. And that means, I think, that President Trump holds the high cards in his meeting today at Mar-a-Lago. The question is, in your question, does he have the political will to actually use those cards? I hope so.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. Gordon Chang, thank you so much. Good day to have you
here.
We have this. This is one of the big meetings. We've had a lot of meeting of foreign leaders of late. But when you start dealing with the leader of China, and eventually there will be a meeting with the leader of Russia, those are the big ones. Those are the ones that matter and have so many implications around the globe.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.